Can't tell that one. Good morning. Welcome back. By the way, I see the text coming in. I love you guys.
What are the text got saying?
The text people know some of my life because they're getting into some pretty good story. David Woodley and the Twins. I am not touching that. But the guys in the back really appreciated the story. They
I got about half of it before he had to come back on the air.
Listen, man, it was a different time.
Dan Day still loves that story. He's laughing about that one.
So tell us the story about David Woodley and the Twins. Somebody sent in a text. Whoever you are, you're a bad person. But I really enjoyed it. Thank you. I'm just sitting here laughing my ass off as I told Dave. And Just got married. One of the first nights, first time. 24 years old. Now I'm telling the story.
You're telling the story. I'm going to stop you, but you're into it now.
No, so I'm sitting there. I'm asleep. Very first night in town. Just got married, came back. And I got a call. got a call, and my roommate wanted me to go out. David Woodley. And I can't tell the whole story because some of it's dirty, but
a lot of it's dirty.
It didn't go over real big in my
honeymoon.
My brand new wife just went, "What am I getting into? You're an animal. You're all animals." I go, "Hell, I thought this was normal."
It's David Woodley. It's not
David
me.
Woodley. I love Joe. David. I did love David. Our personalities couldn't have been more different. He was a classic, man. People like to know stories about David Woodley was the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins between Bob Greasy and Dan Marino with Don Strock in there. And Don, of course, cleaned up the messes.
The whole Woodstruck, as we know, and the Dolphins went to the Super Bowl.
I said he
and,
cleaned the messes up.
And Don Shula's, you know, that's sort of the year Don Shula, people say how good a coach he was. Well, he went to the Super Bowl with David Woodley as a starter. And I mean, David Woodley was a running quarterback at LSU, right?
Yes.
And so he wasn't your prototypical NFL drop back.
I got to tell you, Don Strock and Bob Greasy tried to work with him. He just said, "I'm going to play quarterback, but I ain't doing all this studying you guys are doing on coverages." he come back to the room. He goes, "Those guys are going to sit and talk all night about coverages. It's very simple. If the first guy ain't open, I'm running." Okay. You do whatever works, my man. And he did. He ran a lot. He ran for a lot of first downs, but he used to get that helmet, we get sideways. We open with the Jets. And he was a starting quarterback, and he got hit by Klecko and Gassineau. Both came clean quickly. I don't know what the numbers were. They could have been first and second in the league, like 20. One guy might have had 22 sacks, and the other guy had 20. It was some stupid. It was the most by two pass rushers ever. Neither one set the record, but it was the most by two guys in a year, the New York Sack Exchange.
Sack Exchange, I remember, yeah.
And they hit David Woodley. And if they would have had concussions back then, he was definitely had a severe one. He got hit. I turned around, and he was just laying there, and his helmet was sideways, and he got back up, you know, like everybody got helped off the field and came back in later. But
Klecko did some damage on quarterbacks. I was out to lunch with Bernie Kosar once. We're talking, and he hits he took, and he reaches. He comes across the table at me, opens up his mouth. Imagine, and there's a hole back where his molar should be, his right molar, a big hole.
Ripped it.
And he goes, "Klecko knocked that out." And he just hadn't got it replaced, yeah. I guess. But so the hits those quarterbacks took in that era – nothing like the protection of this era.
That hit he took, I have never seen taken since. Now, there's a good chance Dave was back there and was looking for one guy and holding on to the ball. But they hit them. They it looked like a track meet getting back there, because they the only thing that could have happened is they both hit him at the same time and both could have got hurt with him in the middle of the sandwich, because they hit him so hard, and they hit him on both sides. It would have been, can you get concussed on both sides? Because they hit him. It was, and actually,
I don't know why those stories sound funny, but oh really? He remembered the hit.
He remembered the hit. He goes, yeah, we it was. Those guys were, you talk about competitive, Klecko and Gastineau. Completely different guys that one guy wanted to be Broadway Joe and the other guy wanted to drive a truck. That's how different they were. But, man, they had pass rushing skills. One guy threw guys out of the way and the other guy just was athletic and juiced up out of his mind, just crazy good. So
Gastineau still having issues with quarterbacks, though. With was it Brett Favre? Brett Favre and him were going at it.
Yeah. Did you see the documentary?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the New York Sack Exchange was not crazy about each other. I should say they weren't crazy about Gastineau.
Nobody. No. A lot of people didn't like Gastineau and the way he celebrated and the way he carried himself.
He was about his own product. Not the team pride. He was about.
He was an athlete from today's era. You know, he'd fit in today. Nobody would pay much attention to him today. He'd just be another guy, right?
So, yeah.
Selling himself.
I just that was a crazy time. So anyway, but the text, very funny, very funny. I told some of the story that I could and didn't come across as funny as you hearing the whole thing.
Yeah, but
I heard it.
Dan Day heard it, and it's going to stay. When you hear it, it's going to stick with you for a while.
Yeah. Well, talking about, so the problem is, you know, David's passed away at age 46.
He was young, yeah.
45, 46. Yeah. He passed away early. But he was an interesting guy.
I remember doing that story. His wife, now we're moving on, and his wife was named Suzanne Pugh. And I talked to her.
Yeah, you still remember Suzanne?
I talked to her for the story, and she said the booing he got in Miami ate him up. He could not handle the
booing.
Bothered him. Yeah, really bothered
him. He'd smoke two packs of cigarettes over that. It bothered him. He'd just sit and look at the wall. Bothered him.
You know, and his fans, he got booed. People get booed all the time. But no, this was different. This was a different story, the way it affected him.
So she came down here right out of college with him. They were married. And we're on the sideline for. You all right with these stories, Dave, or am I just?
No, I'm good. I'm good. This is.
So I'm standing on the side, and I don't know who we're playing. And security came down, and they must ask the coach or something, because you couldn't be on the bench, right? So somebody taps David behind him, standing right next to him, tapped him. Defense was on the field and said, "Hey, heads up, some fans." He was having a bad game. Fans are booing you and said you sucked and you shouldn't play. And your wife stood up and goes, "That's my husband," and started throwing punches and hit him.
Oh, my God. I wish I'd known that for the story.
Well, you never asked me. So anyway, they said they had to take her out of the stands. And they had an area. They put you by the where you come in. And David's like, he had that southern, yeah, where is she now? And he says, well, the police had to take her down and escort her over to the corner. She's back. She's safe. And she's not being arrested or anything, but we have to hold her out of the stands until you can take her home. And so we're waiting for the end of the game. And so this is going on, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see this. I mean, it was always something, you know. And so we go back there, and sure enough, they had her over, and she wasn't allowed to go anywhere, just standing there, and she was protecting her man.
Great stuff.
She's just protecting her guy, and he went over there. And, you know, he's kind of a quiet guy, but that stuff did really – listen, you're the quarterback, and you just had Bob Greasy for 13, 14, 15 years – And now David, after he had success his rookie year, but then everybody kind of caught on that He wasn't studying stuff. He was just going to play on athletic ability. It just didn't work. But I got to tell you, man, they were booing him at the Orange Bowl, and she was all right with the booing, but somebody got up, "You suck."
If she could get at him, though, that's funny. I haven't heard that.
She let him have it, and she was a tough cookie. She was, to be married to Dave, you had to be tough. She was tough. But, yeah, so the whole team got to see as we're all going in. There's his wife over in the corner with the police. Can't make some of that
stuff
up.
That's a good one. That's a good story. That's a good story from training camp.
Oh, no, man, listen, there's all kinds of –
drama behind the scenes and that we don't see.
Yeah, just that stuff went on, and there were some classics back then.
I never thought of succeeding Greasy, but I remember, Jay Fiedler obviously succeeded Marino, and – you see, I never have held guys to those standards, but I guess the fans do. Well, we've had Marino for so long, and you're not Marino.
Look what had. They basically had Bob Greasy and Dan Marino covered.
For 30 years, basically. Greasy played, I think, 13 and Marino 17.
Yeah. And honestly, Don Strock came in and cleaned up a lot of mess.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable for both David and for Dan. Dan Marino got hurt at the end of the year, and Don came in and won three games. We ran same offense. Same offense with him, and Danny came back for the playoffs with one of those knee problems that he had. Hey, man, no more text, though. Okay, somebody knows me out there.
Stay away from that, yeah.
David Woodley and the Twins. I am not touching that one. That's good, though. That's a good tease. What are you looking at me like that?
Well, I'm just thinking you told everybody the phone call and David Woodley's on the other end and you're just back from your honeymoon and you sort of left the Twins out of the story there. But so readers can fill in the blank. It's kind of obvious, right? Sort of.
I tell you, my wife at the time was not happy. That's why you got to live with people first before you find out what kind of animal you're living with. All right. Hey, we got to go to break. Enough of that. Enough of you're looking at me like you don't think much of me.
Bill
now,
Murray said, travel around the world together, and if at the end of that you still love each other, get married. And I think that's good advice for her. That would have served you well, Joe.
I sat with my girls the other day, and I said, someday you get married. They go, "Oh, here he goes. And I go, "No, I'm being serious." I grew up Catholic where, I saw it. Nobody lived together in my time. And Catholic families, you're really together the first time after after the wedding. Then that's really your first night. Now, I'm not saying you didn't sneak around a little bit. Catholics would sneak around. But actually live together where the families accepted it. I said, "We got a different rule here. You need to live with that guy to find out what he's like, because you want to know." You agree? Would you tell your kids live with them first?
I wouldn't tell them. I'd say at this point, my kids are old enough to do their own thing. They're not going to listen to me.
Well, they're not going to listen to me either. That would be 4 for 4, not listen to anything I say. All right, we got to go to break. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back. Hey, to all of you. I've enjoyed this. It wasn't exactly where I was going to take the show today, but there have been some great stories. And we were just talking about some more stories that people have called.
They all aren't X-rated either, Joe.
No, I try to stay away from stuff that could hurt people. And I like people to be alive when I tell stories. And I know some of the people aren't that we've told stuff about. Mark Clayton, of all people, asked me, he goes, "Hey, I was in Houston. I was on a roll one night drinking, telling stories." He goes, "Hey, man, I'm just asking you, man. I'm not mad. I'm just asking you." I go, "What, Clayton?" He goes, "I don't know. Like, should we be telling stories about people who aren't with us anymore, like passed away?" I go, "Nah, I think they'd like it. I think we'd be okay.
It's a way to keep them alive, right?"
I got to tell you, my favorite stories are from the 17-0 team.
They have so many stories.
They have, and those guys, they would stand up to shoes. We had a few guys who stand up to shoes. Those guys, they have great stories. And the alligator story, anybody that went to the Everglades to grab an alligator, It wasn't huge, right? It was a
one especially big up Manny Fernandez and Bill Stanfield. Bill Stanfield, big country boy out of Georgia, and Manny Fernandez, a country guy out of
Northern California. Hell's Angel. Yeah. We called him a Hell's Angel guy. Is that right? Badass. Yeah.
Yeah. The Dolphins signed him because they're trying to market to the Hispanic people down here. Manny gets down here, and he doesn't speak any Spanish.
Had a great name, though, Manny Fernandez.
Perfect.
And a great player.
Yeah.
And so they went out one night drinking and went to the Everglades and grabbed a friggin' alligator. Who friggin' does that? They got this alligator.
Put it in his trunk in a box.
Took it back and came in early and put it in Coach Shula's shower. Who does that?
These guys. They had crazy guys on that team.
I wish I could have seen his look when he went in there to take that shower, his morning shower in there, the look on his face. That had to be.
Supposedly he went running. Now, his office was, there's a hallway and then the locker room.
Right.
He went running into the locker room with or without a towel. I'm not sure. And he later confronted Jim Kick and blamed Kick for doing it. And Kick's famous line inside the team was, "Well, you're lucky I had the final vote, and I voted it to tape its mouth shut."
Oh, man. Well, that's one of the great stories of all time. Those guys, just that few seconds of him. I mean, you can imagine. It's bad enough you see a friggin' cockroach or something in your shower, but to see a friggin'
Yeah, alligator. But those guys, Shula was, as everybody knows, a hard-driving personality. That's what made that team. You know, a lot of talent on that team when he came in. His personality made the winners. But they had guys who stood up. Jake Scott, he stood up to him to the point he was traded. You know, and
Jake Scott's story about how he got traded in a preseason game. And the doc said,
"Yeah, they were talking injury stories." And
so it's told the doc, "Hey, I need to shoot you up. Coach wants to see you play." Now,
preseason game,
and I know Jake said to the doctor, same family of doctors, he said, "Make sure you go tell the coach to go F himself. I'm not doing it, but make sure you tell him I said go F himself." He traded him. He friggin' traded him, and a guy. Jake was a great player.
Worked out for Jake from the standpoint that one of his teammates.
With the Redskins.
I can't think of the guy's name. He was a tackle. Owned the Burger King franchises in Hawaii and took Jake out there. Jake fell in love with Hawaii, and he bought property on Kauai, spent part of the rest of his life. Him and Dick Anderson, with their winnings from the 72 Super Bowl, I believe, or maybe 71, bought a ranch in Colorado. And then Jake had property. He bought property in Hawaii. And I went out and spent a couple days with him.
I was going to say, I thought it was you that went out and did the story on where is Jake Scott?
Yeah, because when I did the book, he's the one guy who wouldn't talk. In fact, I remember talking to Jim Mandich. Jim Mandich and Jake Scott were best friends. They would rent out a bar together after games and have parties. And I said, "Jim, set me." He goes, "Howard Cosell." He started listening to Dick Anderson, all these famous media. They've asked him to do it. He goes, "I can't do it. He won't talk." So I convinced the editors, "Hey, fly me out to Hawaii." Finally, my editor, Brian White, said, "Hey, okay, we're going to do it." And I said, "Well, I can't guarantee he'll talk." And I remember had the address. This was the era.
So you just kind of showed up
Address? I showed up, and there was a guy getting out of an SUV, and I wasn't really sure what he looked like, and same age, roughly. And I said, "Jake?" And he goes, "No, Jake's up in the house." I go, he says, "Who are you?" And I said, I'm a writer from South Florida. And he goes, "Hey, Jake, a writer's here to see you." And I thought, oh, boy, here it goes. And he walked out, and he was the nicest guy. He said, we talked for 10 minutes. He goes, "Meet me at this bar, the Tahiti Nui, at 5 o'clock. There's the movie The Descendants with George Clooney. And in that movie, it's not George Clooney. It's another famous actor sitting in this bar, and there's these two native Hawaiians sitting on either side of him. That's those two guys in the movie actually sat next to Jake every day at 5 o'clock. They'd meet there on this bar." I went in there at 5 o'clock. I left at 2 a.m. And I had my story. He was great.
He told stories and drank the whole time.
Yeah, he had incredible stories. You know, just crazy stories of, you know, he rode his motorcycle.
He's one of the wildest, not the wildest guy to ever put on a Dolphin uniform. It was that friggin' good because he was unbelievable.
He rode his motorcycle over the Georgia basketball arena. You know, it had metal concrete girders going over it. He rode it over it. There's so many stories about him that became part of many of them. Some of them are X-rated. But
he said he would stand up in meetings. He was brilliant. And the defensive coordinator, I think after or before Bill Arnsberger was there, he would put stuff and he said, that ain't going to work.
Yeah.
He goes, that ain't going to work. And the guy keep going with it, and he goes, well, why won't it work?
Well,
and he said, he tell the story. You know story. He get up and embarrass the guy.
Well, he did it in practice to Vince Costello, was the defensive coordinator. And he got up and he started yelling at Costello that this ain't going to work. Shula's across the field, and he comes running over. Hey, what's going on over here? And Jake Turnham said, I wasn't effing talking to you. Can you imagine saying that to Shula? it all blew up. But he was a incredible safety. I was talking to Joe Namath once, and he goes, I saw Jake Scott, and I'm still mad at him for stuff he would do in games about tricking me, taking the false two steps and you know, to pretend like he's going one way and then going the other way. And
unbelievable. Those teams had a lot of fun, and they won, you know, a lot of tight ball games. A lot of those, you go back and see some of the stuff, and then the guys that roomed together and some of the
– believe me, I'm old, but I did a book called Still Perfect on these guys, so I got to know them all. I interviewed them all except Jake. And the stories they had about each other were amazing.
So Jake, I was around when Jake finally came back. They finally got he and Coach Shula,
yep,
who had it was the longest running.
They're falling out. Jake said he didn't want to ever talk to him again when he left here. But they did. They got together.
I think Mad Dog had a lot to do with that. I tell you what, Nat is amazing too. So Jim Manage and Nat Moore get involved, like, hey, it was an appearance.
Sure. They there was a card show in Detroit that somehow they got them together, and they all took pictures, and Shula and Jake hugged and talked, you know, it's one of those. Then Jake's now in the Ring of Honor, so it's all, isn't he? I believe he came down, Bill Stanfield got in it together.
I didn't care about it. I mean, it had nothing to do with me later in the 80s, but I was glad to see those guys. Like, they're like such, both of them, so important at 17-0 that, and I'll say one thing for Coach Shula, because I did some stuff to him too. He wasn't my biggest fan for a long time. But he won peace at the end.
He let it all go, didn't he?
He let just about everything go.
To his full credit, what a great person he was to let it all go. And he wanted to, like you said, he wanted to be, I don't know, friends with people, but he wanted to have, you know, he didn't want to have these grudge matches with everybody.
I think most guys, you know, try to somewhat let it go, even if, you know.
Jimmy's let it go for the most part with everybody, pretty much, except maybe Skip Bayless. Definitely not Skip Bayless.
Skip's not going to be in that group, no. Well, listen, we got a lot more stuff. Speaking of Jimmy Johnson, Jimmy Johnson's going to join us when we come back, so stay with us. The former Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, Miami Dolphins, and national champion Miami Hurricane. My God, about everything you can do will join us next.